l-intisimaw l-SBS bil-Malti.
Fil-laqa ġenerali annwali li saret dal-aħħar fil-preżenza ta' laqdiet affiljati mal-Kunsil Malti ta' New South Wales, kienelet l-esekuttiv il-ġdid tal-Kunsil Malti ta' New South Wales. Bħala president inħatret Miriam Friġġieri. Jiena ħadt l-opportunità biex inkellem lil Miriam Friġġieri u insiru nafuha aktar mill-qrib bħala persuna li diġà ilha involuta fil-komunità f'diversi għaqdiet fi' New South Wales u bħala Maltija Awstraljana li twildet u trabbiet l-Awstralja f'ambjent ta' familja Maltija. Billi twildet u trabbiet fl-Awstralja għalkemm tifhem bil-Malti u titkellem ftit bil-Malti wkoll, l-intervista qed issir bil-Malti u bl-Ingliż. Jiena bdejt biex staqsejta kif bdiet tinteressa ruħha fil-komunità Maltija.
Fil-council ma tantx ili xi 3.5 years biss, imam it's 3 years as the secretary. U ili ma associations oħrajn xi 6 snin. Jiena tħall ta' biex għandek verità xi ħadd għalli biex nmur mal-kor tal-Malti. U l-kor tal-Maltese Cultural Association, I joined them in 2015, or I became a member of the Maltese Cultural Association as they it the core tagħhom. And mbagħad tħalt fil-committee wkoll, I was the treasurer for about 3 years. Speċajt min il-committee last October, kelli a lot of things, involvement, and I had to let something go. I stopped being the treasurer last October, imma għadni membru tal-Maltese Cultural Association. My heart is there, we do a lot of good for the community, you know, anki nġibu artisti min Malta, kultant, u jow namlu xi events, u il-core is very involved in mal-knejjes, you know, ikun hemm xi festa. We are, I think, the last Maltese choir still in New South Wales.
Il-membri l-oħra ta' l-esekuttiv tal-Kunsil.
We have the vice president is Antoine Manjon. Antoine is Armini, so he's one of the younger generation. And he was the president of the OLQP band, the Our Lady Queen of Peace band. It's the Maltese concert band. And again, he's a very busy young man and a young family. But he's been the vice president. I think this is his second term as vice president. But on the treasurer, George Bartolo, he was involved with the community. Snin, he told me even when he was on his way on the ship, he was helping people already with forms, and he has always been involved in the Maltese community. All his secretaria is Frances Montesine, again another lady who's volunteered for many years in the Maltese community with various associations, and is also involved, I think, with the Maltese welfare or the Don Bosco, and you know, that's the executive. That's the new executive. Umbatan anki wahda ktar Izar min Antoine, Sandra Grek, another young one. So we're starting to get a little bit of a different executive with, you know, varying ages. And I am a second generation Maltese. George, Francis, they're first generation. I'm not sure about Antoine. I think he's a second generation, of course. Or Sandra's first generation. And we have assistant treasurer Patrick Bartolo. Patrick is first generation Maltese too, and again involved in, he's a member of a number of associations. So we have a new executive, a new committee, and we've yet to formalize how we are going to move forward, but move forward we do want to do.
U għandkom taħlita ta' etajiet.
Ekku. Jiena daċċed inqas minn dawk li kienu executive qabel, you know, President Abel, u Matem Antoine, u Sandra, and we were trying to get a mix, and so that we can encourage more young people to come and be involved, because the legacy has to, if we wanted to live on, it relies very heavily on getting the next generations involved.
Edina daqxajn dwarek, Miriam, fejn gbirt u trabbejt, l-ambjent tal-familja?
Well, my mum and dad kienu born in Malta. They came to Australia with my two older brothers, kellhom xi 3 and 4 years, maħuti, u ġew in 1959. U jina, I was born a few, you know, little while later, u I think we moved. When I was born, my first home was in Wentworthville, on an Odujo garage. I think that's a story that a lot of Maltese can relate to, that, you know, the it was a hard time. And so you took accommodation where you could get it. About 3 years later, they moved into a new home in South Wentworthville. It was Grey Stains, fake on an Odu. That was when we grew up, it was South Wentworthville. We had a 3-bedroom, 5-row home. And that is my earliest memory. Is moving to the house. I know I was in the front of the truck with my mother and father, and not that it would be allowed today, but my brothers were in the back with the furniture. and you know, we spent in that place about 15 years, and then we moved to, when I say we, my younger brother and my mother and father, we moved to Wetherill Park, and Flachar Jainaunek, Greenfield Park, Palista. So I have two older brothers born in Malta, my younger brother and I born here in Australia. And at the time when my mother and father came to Australia, it wasn't encouraged to teach your children Maltese. And see, they were told, don't speak to them in Maltese because you confuse them. And so I think that is a shame because we didn't really learn Maltese as such. We understand it, you know, netkellemftit. Because you pick it up from your parents, but we grew up with mum and dad speaking Maltese and us answering in English. It was an interesting. But when I talk to a lot, you know, other second generation Maltese, they say yes, it was the same for us. You know, I don't know how we managed it, but that's how we did it. But at that time, when we were you know, in the 60s, it was very much encouraged to integrate, and I think the Maltese did too good a job. Of integrating, you know, that they fitted in, they blended into the community, they became useful in the community. And I know my father was a very, very proud that, he, you know, they could speak English and they could get on in society. But he very much didn't like it if my mother spoke to him in Maltese in public, because he felt that we didn't want to stand out. We didn't want to be different. And you have to be seen to be blending in. And at those times, there was a lot of racism, of course, you know, the foreigners coming into the country. And it wasn't as easy, I think, as it is now. But I know that other cultures are probably experiencing similar things now that you know, they experienced then. But it was, you know, my father was very family-oriented at that time. You know, we didn't really get involved in the Maltese community. We knew it existed, we knew it was there, but we kept... More or less, our social hub was our family, and I know my mother had a cousin who was involved in the Melita Eagles at that time. He's sadly no longer with us, and he was well known in the community, but it wasn't our scene. You know, we grew up rather independent from that.
L-ambjent tal-familja d-skel Malti, ek.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, we grew up on baked rice or macaroni. Yeah, we always had the pastizzi. Of course, we grew up with Maltese cooking because my mother and father were both good cooks, and we were very spoiled. Pudina, my mother wasn't very big on sweets, but she made a fantastic pudina and trifle, you know, so it... Yeah, we were very aware. I always, even though we weren't involved in the Maltese community, I always felt a very strong bond to Malta. Yeah. I was always very interested in Malta. I learned how to read Maltese my own way through my mother's letters. She would get letters from her mother or her sisters. And I would sit down in the corner and I'd try and read. And I always used to say, my mama, you know, what's this word? What's this? How do I say this? Oh, Maltese is a funny language. God, my dear, in my own way, I learned how to read. Anki, when my mother and father used to write, my father can write, you know, Nikdep Kiffin Hoss. So they had schooling, but not a higher education. Mm. You know, they probably left school about 14, 15. Mm. And so they did know how to write. And Ma, even my father acknowledged that Maltese was difficult, so he said, you know, niktab kif inħoss.
U ġeneralment il-Malti tikteb kif tħoss, imman batem ċerti irqaqat certain details of the grammar. Taħdida interessanti, Mirjem, pero nerġaw lura għal kunsill għal-esekuttiv. X'tara li huma l-akbar sfidi li għandkom qudiemkom?
I think that the biggest challenge is that for the major part our first generation Maltese are obviously aging. And so we, as a community, we have a very aging Maltese community. Their needs are changing, and we are also in need of volunteers, because as the older ones, you know, retire or move on, we need people to replace them. So one of the biggest issues, challenges, if you like, is that we need more volunteers of any age, but particularly the younger generations. It's a challenge to see how we can get them more involved, and we need to attract more and more. For us, for the council too, we have a Maltese language school, and with COVID, unfortunately, it did us a lot of harm in terms of enrollments. You know, we had twice as many students last year as we do today, and because COVID saw us move to online, a lot of people, it didn't suit them to do that, and we lost a lot of students through that. I think the other schools experienced very similar. But we did make the move. We were able to move online, and we're still carrying that on today. But we also at this time lost some valuable teaching staff, and we paid tribute to people like Maria De Carlo, who was with the school for about 20 years, and she retired late last year. And even though she still helps every now and then, and she did a lot of help at the beginning of the year getting us restarted. But trying to replace these people with fluent speaking Maltese is very difficult. We were lucky enough to get another couple of teachers. We picked up three new teachers, two of which are teaching online and one is teaching face to face. We have a couple of volunteers who are helping in the first term. One of them is our secretary and the other is Mark Caruana. They're assisting us, but I need to find more teachers if we are to continue in the long term. And we do want to keep our Maltese language alive. And for us, that's a challenge. And also to get more students, to bring more people. This year, we find ourselves with more students online than we have face-to-face, which is an interesting turnaround. But that is a challenge if we are to try and keep our culture and our language alive. I'm putting a call out, and we're advertising all the time that we would like people to come forward, even if they're not teachers. As long as they can speak and read and write in Maltese, we will give them as much support and training materials and teaching aids. And anybody that has these skills can teach. We will even send them to courses where they can do community language courses and be more skilled. That's an individual challenge for the council. Outside of that, you know, as I said, the aging community, the lack of Maltese priests is a problem for our community. The MSSP are aging as well, and they have always provided chaplaincy to our communities. But we find ourselves in the western suburbs for the last couple of years with no chaplain. The Maltese people, as they age, especially the first generation Maltese, are going to find themselves reverting to their mother tongue, speaking Maltese again, and finding it difficult to converse in English. That is a known thing that happens. So as they get older, when they need more support at this time in their lives, we have a greater need to have Maltese priests, you know, working as best we can through the CMLA, through La Valette. We're trying to collaborate and form communications that we can oppose to the Maltese government or to the Maltese church and bishops and say, please help us. We are lacking this support. We had it in the early days. The priests came out with the migrants. But today it's a struggle.
Segwi l-SBS bil-Malti fuq Facebook. Għamel like, ixxerja, ikkummenta.